Right, today's reading is from Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6 to chapter 5, verses 8. What is that coming out from the wilderness like columns of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the fragrant powder of a merchant? Behold, it is the litter of Solomon. Around it are 60 mighty men, some of the mighty men of Israel, all of them wearing sword and expert in war, each with his sword at his thigh, against terror by night. King Solomon made himself a carriage from the wood of Lebanon. He made its posts of silver, its back of gold, its seats of purple. Its interior was inlaid with love by the daughters of Jerusalem. Go out, O daughters of Zion, and look upon King Solomon, with the crown with which his mother crowned him on the day of his wedding, on the day of the gladness of his heart. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats leaping down the slope of Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn ewes that have come up from the washing, all of which bear twins, and not one among them has lost its young. Your lips are like the scarlet thread, and your mouth is lovely. Your cheeks are like the halves of a pomegranate behind your veil. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built in rows of stone. On it hang 1,000 shields, all of the shields of warriors. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, that graze among the lilies. Until the day breathes and the shadow flee, I will go away to the mountain of mirth and the hill of frankincense. You are together beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you. Come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Depart from the peak of Amana, from the peak of the Sinir and Hermon, from the dens of lion, from the mountains of leopard. You have captivated my heart, my sister, my bride. You have captivated my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your oils than any spice. Your lips drip nectar, my bride. Honey and milk are under your tongue. The fragrance of your garment is like the fragrance of Lebanon. A garden locked is my sister, my bride, a spring locked, a fountain sealed. Your sheets are like an orchard of pomegranates with all choicest fruits, henna with nard and saffron, camelus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all choice spices. A garden fountain, a well of living water, the flowing streams of Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, O south wind. Blow upon my garden, let its spice flow. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat its choicest fruits. I came to my garden, my sister, my bride. I gathered my myrrh with my spice. I ate my honeycomb with my honey. I drank my wine with my milk. Eat, friends, drink, and be drunk with love. I slept, but my heart was awake. A sound, my beloved, is knocking. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. For my head is wet with dew, my locks with the drop of the night. I had put off my garment. How could I put it on? I had bathed my feet. How could I soil them? My beloved put his hand to the latch, and my heart was thrilled within me. I arose to open to my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh, on the handles of the bolt. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had turned and gone. My soul failed me when he spoke. I sought him, but found him not. I called him, but he gave no answer. The watchmen found me as they went about in the city. They beat me, they bruised me, They tear away my veil, those watchmen of the walls. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell him I'm sick with love.
Thanks, Serena. Hello, I'm Kev. I'm the senior minister. Great to have you with us. Welcome to the Song of Solomon. If you didn't know, that's what we were reading. Their engagement announcement broke the internet last summer. NFL star Travis Kelce on one knee in a Song of Solomon style garden, proposing to Taylor Swift. They say it will be America's version of a royal wedding. The poet laureate of puberty has already written the playlist for her own reception. Taylor's hit Lover is currently the most popular first dance track in the UK. Proper Disney stuff. And yet, since the announcement in August, there have been headlines of tensions in the relationship, his career crisis, fears over wedding security. It was even reported that this pair bought out another couple's booking at their venue of choice so that he and she could get married on their preferred date. Cheeky. But we love the English teacher and gym teacher story because it's clean. It's curated. Gets you 37.6 million likes, apparently. But fairy tale endings are never as fairy tale as they seem. That's why Taylor Swift's own back catalogue has been described as an emotional Swiss Army knife. She's written a song for every mood, from euphoric passion to the depths of heartbreak, wondering what might have been, self-loathing. It's me. Hi. I'm the problem. It's me. I say that quite a lot in our marriage, that line, you know. I sort of find it helps smooth the way. Anyway, we've been working through the hottest book in the Bible on Sundays. Song of Solomon claims to be the greatest of them all. It explores the joys of romance, we saw last week. We extol your love more than wine, sang the friends. Still, it's not all pomegranates and lilies of the valley. There's a wilderness here, as well as a garden of delights. The song sings a sober warning about the dark side of love. Chapter 2, this repeated refrain, I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. Love, handle with care. This Bible book says God gets our wants and desires. Unlike uptight Brits like me, he isn't afraid of conversations about bodies or lovemaking. By the way, thanks Ben and Jade for being willing to speak into this. Today says the Lord of heaven is just as down to earth about our anxieties in this area. He gets that there's a seedy side to sex. Some of this will be painful, and I guess painful in different ways for different ones of us. Sorry if that sounds gloomy. God never keeps it real to depress us, though. He's always speaking for our good. So just a moment to pause, just a moment of quiet on your own with the Lord. I don't know what this has started to bubble up in your head. Just a moment to be quiet. Father God, as you speak into tougher things, painful things, please would you speak to us for our good. Amen. God wants to warn us of the ugly side of love, to manage our expectations about the good side. He doesn't want us disillusioned. And it's not that God wants to turn us all into hardened romance cynics. It's that the song leaves us looking and longing for a better love story in the universe. First, let's look at the shadow of Solomon from the start. Chapter 1, verse 1 said that this was the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. If the aim was to say there that it was by Solomon, that isn't a very clear way of saying he wrote it. Could just as easily mean written for Solomon or about him. Whatever, the very fact King Solomon's name is all over this album cover is a massive elephant in the room, or elephant in the palace. 1 Kings chapter 11 does the heavy lifting on making Solomon the anti-hero. tells us the guy ended up with 700 wives and 300 concubines. If you don't know what a concubine is, it's a sex slave. By the way, 700 wives and 300 concubines isn't meant to make us think, wow, he was the ultimate player. The man's love life was the ruin of him. It was the ruin of the nation he led. Our song of undivided devotion, of you're the only one for me, of love that will not let me go, of Solomon, really? If this song is by Solomon, it's either a joke, what a hypocrite, or he's writing regretfully later saying, I should have pursued exclusive love but never attained it. It could be that. He's for certain a character in the song, the only individual actually named. This song is at least partly about Solomon, and not, I think, in a positive way. Come with me to chapter 6, verse 8. Chapter 6, verse 8. There are 60 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my perfect one, is the only one of her mother pure to her who bore her. The young women saw her and called her blessed, the queens and concubines also, and they praised her. Now, we said this could be a love triangle, so that could be the voice of Shepherd, her male lover, or Solomon, the male lover. Either way, it's a reminder that King Solomon was a serial womanizer. Of all my 140 women, you're the best. Lovely. There's another definite sort of flag in the ground Solomon reference right at the end. Chapter 8, verse 11. Have a look at this one. There's lots that's less clear in the book. These Solomon moments are clearly about him. 8, verse 11. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon. He let out the vineyard to keepers. Each one was to bring for it fruit for 1,000 pieces of silver. That could say he was to bring fruit for 1,000 pieces of silver. My vineyard, my very own, is before me. You, O Solomon, may have 1,000, and the keeper of the fruit, 200. Baal Hamon. Baal means lord and also means husband. Hamon means multitude. Husband of a multitude. If that's right and the vineyard's his harem, she's saying something like, you can keep the money. Verse 12, again, you, Solomon, may have 1,000. In other words, I reject this whole system of transactional love. I don't want to be part of your multitude. Vibes here that this isn't simply a song of love, also a song of protest. So much airtime throughout to the woman's voice, really radical in their culture. If that's so, it casts a shadow over the central section we had read. The fairy tale royal wedding isn't then so fairy tale. Back to chapter 3. Again, this scene is definitely about Solomon. If you've been troubled that I've been holding a bit lightly to the exact details of the story, well, 2,000 years of church history hasn't produced a clear consensus of what's going on. But what is clear is that Solomon is a character at this point. 3 verse 6. What is that coming up from the wilderness like columns of smoke? Smells nice. Verse 7. 3 verse 7. Behold, it is the litter of Solomon. It's the king's grand entrance. So I think she is a country girl who loves her shepherd boy, chapters 1 and 2. She wants to run away with him back in chapter 1 because she's been drawn into the harem. She was on the king's couch in 1 verse 12, but she preferred our couch, you and me, shepherd, our outdoorsy couch, 1:16. But she's in the harem. And now it's too late, chapter 3. Her wedding, woman number 141, to the king. Here comes the bride. Groom, it's all about him. No bridesmaids. Though there are these 60 mighty men, did you notice in verse 7? Swords, war, a scene of military strength, toxic masculinity for the king's latest conquest. It gets darker, verse 9. 3, verse 9. King Solomon made himself a carriage, more literally bedchamber, from the wood of Lebanon. Verse 10, its interior was laid with love. That's the word for love making, inlaid with lovers. This is a description of a high-class brothel. Move to the wedding night, chapter 4. This is the only section where she's called bride. They're married, naked. But unlike the back and forth, and you're beautiful, or you're beautiful from the earlier chapters, all the speech here is by the man. It's more possessive. 5 verse 1, his garden. He says, my garden. She gets that one-liner. Basically, yeah, we can have sex. Unlike her, she's usually much more vocal. The man's love language in chapter 4 is similar to Shepherd's words. Context is everything, though. If chapter 4 is Solomon speaking, he's said it all 100 times before. You are the one that I want. You are the one I want. Ooh, ooh, ooh. This week, 1,000 women. That's some kind of weird other world. Or is it? Closer to home, Solomon and early Jeffrey Epstein. Closer to home, the manosphere. Self-improvement's a good thing. Open conversations about masculinity are probably helpful. Be careful where the algorithms lead you, though. Potentially to some deeply misogynistic content from influencers who celebrate achieving one-way monogamy. In other words, the female partner must stay faithful. Man gets to sleep with whoever he likes. Straight out of Solomon's playbook. And equally grotesque. Closer to home. Left-wing feminist Louise Perry. Dating app data essentially shows that free love or dating essentially creates a kind of polygamy, where a smaller number of attractive men date a larger number of women. She suggests that most cultures in history default to polygamy to the benefit of powerful men. Louise thinks it's Christianity that has shone a light on a better way. She promotes the societal benefits of monogamy for women and lower status men. Closer to home, if you looked at a pornographic image of one different person every day for less than 3 years, that would be 1,000 bodies you'd have objectified in that time. Swipe left for a better looker. Closer to home. And this is supposed to be challenging to women and men. Jesus says looking at someone with lustful intent is adultery in your heart. Solomon's an extreme example of a person with a heart just like yours and mine. Let's move on to the nightmare vibes in the middle. Solomon's presence is a dark cloud. So is the first half of chapter 5. If you're worried that the story's not clearer in the Song of Solomon, I think it's clear in the way it's designed to be clear. It's a song, remember? We talked about the vibes being important. Taylor Swift, some of the stories in her songs are a bit wordy and convoluted for me, to be honest, but the atmosphere she creates in the music helps make the point. In that way, the start of chapter 5 is unbelievably clear in its disturbing mood. 5 verse 2 is the same scene. We haven't got to one of those end of scene markers yet. So imagine a movie that cuts so abruptly from the wedding to the wedding night to a wedding nightmare. Literally, verse 2. 5 verse 2, I slept, but my heart was awake. Seems to be another dream sequence. Is she imagining her shepherd lover coming to her in the night? It's probably not King Solomon there knocking on the door saying, let me in, I've been out in the rain. Verse 3, chapter 5, verse 3, I had put off my garment, how could I put it on? I had bathed my feet, how could I soil them? Sort of reluctance to go to him, reluctance for sex. The weekend papers I read are full of articles about what they call a sexual recession. No sex, please, we're busy, prudish, anxious, stressed, broke, exhausted, and scrolling. Here it sounds like, I've washed and gone to bed. Not tonight, darling. Is she married to Solomon but dreaming of shepherd? Verse 4, my beloved put his hand to the latch and my heart was thrilled within me. He's outside the door, touching the door. Her heart misses a beat. She gets up, opens. He's gone, verse 6. One of those dreams where, you know, frustratingly, hauntingly, you just can't do the thing that you're trying to do. She can't find him, end of verse 6. Where's that Life 360 app when you need it? Beloved, beloved. No answer. Verse 7. The watchmen found me as they went about in the city. They beat me. They bruised me. They took away my veil. Those watchmen of the walls. Take away my veil speaks of being violated. Still part of the dream, though. The fear is real enough. Fear of sexual violence. Some of us know that fear. Some of us carry those scars. Kind of thing that happens when you live in Solomon's town. Verse 8, I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him I am sick with love. Sick with love is a powerful phrase. She's just given us the definition of it, the intensity. Rejection or fear of rejection. Lover not here anymore. Obsessive irrational thoughts, insomnia, stress. We know this stuff. Has she messaged? Where is he? Who's he with? We were just at the wedding night. Immediately cut to this. Start of chapter 5 is probably dreamscape. But what a jarring end to the honeymoon. There's a world of angst and distress to unpick here. Hesitancy about intimacy, complication, separation, violation. Sexual anxiety, everything about relationships, anxiety. When she does pursue him, the chance to be with him is gone. Too late. That happens. Increasing distance. Adele is our British Taylor Swift, isn't she? She's much better. Hello from the other side. Must have called 1,000 times. Hello from the outside. Painful triggers here. I wonder what haunts you. Dream world, but real world. God gets love, the unfiltered version. He gets that it's not Instagram ready. He gets the dark side of sex. I adjure you, daughters of Jerusalem and people of London, don't stir up love until it pleases. Love, handle with care. It can really mess you up. The vibes turn happier again in chapter 6. We looked at some of that last week. We return to the back and forth, more equal conversation between the lovers. Are chapter 6 and 7 a real or imagined conversation with the former shepherd lover? Feels more Garden of Eden-like when they're together. But she's married to Solomon, so they can't be together. They can't get back to paradise love. And neither can we. See, even if you reject Solomon's ugly, failed, promiscuous, abusive vision for love, even if you go for something more mutual and intimate, even if you find a better bridegroom than Solomon, love should be so good. Sometimes it can be, but in a broken world, love and sex will always be broken. And I wonder if the end of the song sings that story. Is it a Romeo and Juliet ending? If you don't know Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet's an intense tale of romance, physical attraction, and ultimately tragedy. Is that what the song ends up being? Well, we're going to hit pause rather than get into this. Have to leave something for next week. And I'm really trying to clickbait you to read it one more time, the song, this week. And think about what's going on at the very end. She seems to be telling him to go away, make haste, flee, literally. Is it a game of hide and seek? Deliberately leaving us hanging? Or is she saying run away for good? We'll spend some time on that ending next week. But remember, God never keeps it real to depress us. He wants to warn us of the ugly side of love. Manage our expectations about the good side. Not to turn us into hardened cynics or rub our noses in what we don't have. It's that the song leaves us longing and looking for a better love story. So as we finish, let me tell you about the beginning of John's Gospel. By the way, if you've never read John or not for ages, there's a bunch of copies at the table or at the back. Love you to take one. The start of John's Gospel is absolutely electric. About the first thing Jesus does is saves the day at a wedding where the bridegroom messed up. On the very next page, Jesus is called the bridegroom. On the very next page, he engages a woman who has five husbands, has had five husbands, and is now living with bloke number six. He invites her into a relationship. Knows everything she's ever done. Offers salvation from all the damage and disappointment. Satisfaction that lasts. He promises to love her forever. And not just her, that is Jesus' proposal to the whole world. His proposal to you. He knows everything I've ever done. He knows everything you've had done to you. And he says, let me love you forever. If it feels a weird idea, I was married to Jesus as his bridegroom. Come back next week, we'll explore it more. But the big point is, please, please, don't stop looking for love and relationship in the universe until you find it in him. Should we pray?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it mourns our hearts that love causes such pain in this fallen world, and it is a tragedy to think how prevalent these qualities we see in Solomon are in our world now, and to see misogyny and toxic masculinity, abuse within love, objectification, adultery, sexual immorality. These things are so sad, Father, and we ask that in your grace you would protect us here at Euston from these sins. Please, where appropriate, help us repent of them. And it's so sad too how love can cause pain, can make us sick now with anxiety or distress or emotions unfulfilled. Lord, we long for things not to be like this. We long for love without pain. And so we praise you for your gospel. We praise you so much for how you love us and how in Jesus you offer us love forever without pain. Please, Father, help us all really believe that and remember that, and would that be an immense source of comfort and joy for us. We pray particularly for those of us who are feeling the pain of singleness. Please comfort them and give them all that they need. Please help us as a church family be filled with intimate and joyful friendship. Where love is causing anxiety among us, help us be quick to cast our anxieties on you in prayer, knowing that you really do care for us. And for those dating, please help them handle love with care. Help them flee sexual immorality. Help them to work out whether marriage is the right next step, and help them to enjoy romance in ways that cause thanksgiving to abound rather than pain. We turn now, Father, to pray for our mission partners, Elizabeth and Mina. Thanks so much for your love towards them, and please would your love be a great comfort to them and a source of strength each day as they serve you. And it's really exciting to hear about this course that Elizabeth is about to teach in Germany on Islam and how to reach out and disciple Muslim seekers. Please, Father, help her prepare well for that and help her be clear in her teaching. And we pray for the students that she'll be teaching. Please equip them with not only understanding of how best to point Muslims to Jesus, but also a deep desire to share the gospel with them. Please might you use those students to bring new life. And lastly, Father, we continue to pray for the situation in Iran. Please might you thwart human desire for conflict and destruction. Please might you grant peace and resolution. Please would you help Christians who are really feeling affected by this be so joyful in what Jesus offers, everlasting peace and love. Please would that hope be something they speak about to those facing difficulty. And please help us too, in view of such conflict, be bold to talk about the peace that Jesus offers and Jesus alone. Amen.